This podcast is brought to you by Voice of Vets. Voice of Vets. Hear it. Feel 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 it.
Today on the COVID Report, we are joined by analyst Vusi Maupa to talk to us about the impact on COVID-19 and business. Thank you so much, Vusi, for joining us here on the COVID Report. And firstly, what have your goals as a company been during this pandemic?
Hi, Specifica. Thanks for having me. It's such an honor to be on your show today. Look, we're trying our best. It's quite a difficult time now to inspire anything that's working at the moment due to COVID. But our focus is to make sure that at least from a strategic point of view, businesses, individuals, teams are able to maneuver the difficulties they have, and as a result, they get inspiration with a sense of renewed focus.
Now, Vusi, what are some of your main goals now during the pandemic, and why are these the particular goals you have chosen as an organization?
Look, as an organization, we have a couple of goals, and one is to make sure that at least individuals first, because they are at the heart of any transaction, they are transformed, inspired, and motivated. That means we have a sense where we work with them to be in a sense that they want to be. And with businesses, we want to make sure that they are having a strategic sense of their approach. So our approach or our goal is, as soon as we can see many businesses as possible, being able to maneuver or to overcome these challenging times. It's challenging to everyone. It's challenging to us, every South African or every global citizen. But the little that we can do working together with the teams, it makes our goals much, it draws them closer and closer.
Now, looking at business as a whole, COVID-19 has changed a lot of things that we do. What are some of the things that you have noted has changed in business during this time?
That's a beautiful question, Sipesihle. A lot has changed in business. A lot has changed, and I can tell you that revenues have declined sharply. Profitability has reduced significantly. And this is mainly because I think on two fronts. One is the uncertainty, and two is the lockdown levels that were came with the COVID-19. And with uncertainty, you have we were hoping, it is the business fraternity was hoping that this thing will end now, and the duration becomes prolonged. It becomes it's not clear anymore when this thing will end, and businesses are contemplating around changing their strategies, making sure that they are adapting to these challenges posed by the pandemic. Not sure when it will end, but businesses are really taking it very hard. And I think with the lockdown levels, it has provided some bit of hope. It was a bit difficult during level fives, and when it went down to level four, I think, businesses started to smile a bit, and now we're at two. Economies, open or semi-open, where they care, if we feel like to put it that way, because it's not like before. And these things put together have applied the two important levers in any business transaction, and that is demand and supply. Companies, now are unable to provide the demand that is needed, or customers are a bit skeptical about, spending their monies as they used to. Some even have lost income. As a result, supply also becomes a problem. So a lot has changed. I think this is a bigger question that getting with businesses and then understanding it individually, you can get a much more clearer picture on what levels of micro businesses has this had effect on.
Now, you have spoken about some of the effects and some of the changes that we've seen in business. Do you believe that these effects and changes are going to last after the pandemic is gone?
Sure. Like I said, this has provided a huge level of uncertainty. And whilst it's uncertain, some businesses have taken an opportunity to learn through these markets or to learn through these times and adapt with it, so that making their business to move entirely to a new operation altogether. But doing so, it's not as easy as it sounds to tell you that, Sipesihle, because it depends on a lot of things, right? It's not keeping your business or changing your business overhaul. It has a lot of factors that may be, you know, considered. First, you need to have a clear strategy that is within, you know, a short and long run of how, what your business will want to achieve and how can it sustain that, right? And two, the capital structure of your business may also be affected by the decisions that you will take moving your business to a permanent restructuring or perhaps temporary one until the pandemic has subsided. As I said, it's uncertain, so we really don't know what, you know, when this will go away, and if it does, what effect it will have. But at least what we know is that businesses are starting slowly, you know, moving towards more e-commerce, not as rapidly as you would want it to be, but of course we understand it was quite a surprise. It caught us off guard. And those that will be able to move to the cyber world, at least they will be able to sustain that beyond COVID. We've seen the likes of Sainsbury's in the United Kingdom and as early as 2013 having the automated cash points. The Tesco's, they've done that. And in South Africa, unfortunately, we have quite a unique demographics. We have a high number of unskilled people, and we have a large sector that is unemployed. As a result, it makes it difficult for us to sustainably move towards a new way of doing business, e-commerce, that is.
Now, looking at businesses that are looking to start, is starting a business during the coronavirus pandemic any difference from starting one at any other time?
Sure. I think there's a striking difference there. Before, I mean, South African businesses were already having it tough, even when you start at the nascent stages, bulk company businesses will fall at least within a year, if not 24 months, according to the TIER business index. And now it became even more difficult, where even the financing becomes riskier. I think, you know, the banks will price in the risk premiums that comes with this COVID pandemic, even though the interest rates, at least from the prime rates, are much lower than before. But the capital market is quite squashed. It's not everyone is able to inject cash as it was before, even though it was difficult even before. You know, it's quite a striking difference, because now we have compounded challenges that existed pre-COVID-19 of you know, the way we do business, access to data costs and all those of things, or access to the markets generally, and compounded by now the challenges that we face of COVID-19. Which gives a risk. I mean, if you go to approach a funder now and say you want to go into a specific market, the question is, how will you penetrate that market now during these times where the borders are closed, where the people have lost income, where even the market themselves have become squeezed? So it is quite a challenging one, I should say, supposedly.
And looking at business runnings, with business meetings being held electronically, could the concept of business travel be a thing of the past?
Yes and no, and I'll tell you why. Some businesses, it's obviously, you know, it makes sense to be in person to do a specific project or to you know, attend a specific business transaction. Some businesses, you obviously can do it online, and this was not clear until we were forced to do it through the online interactions, platforms such as your Zooms, GoToMeetings, and the likes. So those businesses that are structured to do business online, yes, they will continue. But those that need to have you know, travel to make business and transactions, they'll definitely continue. But what is interesting, though, is during these times, those businesses that were traveling a lot, even though they are losing on the revenue and the profitability or the profits, they are saving at least on the spending on travel and the related leisure, or perhaps spent that is related to traveling. So going forward, they need to relook at the amount of those kind of things and how can they feasibly meet online, and where there is really a need to meet in person, then that can be activated and then proceeded. It really depends on the nature of one's business.
And once again, on the nature of one's business and the changing dynamics, what is your take on office space? Articles have come out saying office spaces are going to be ghost towns as people see more and more they can do things online. Will people still need offices after the pandemic?
Sure. That's a beautiful question there. I never thought about it. Look, I think in many sectors, you know, you look at the banking sector, you speak to your banker, they call you from home. You look at the, you want to interact with the, you know, a certain official, even in government, they interact from home using tools like Microsoft Teams or even phone calls. So office space, I think, will be a bit undervalued post-COVID, because people have seen that it's possible to do it without being in person. So that also speaks to a saving on rent. Those businesses that are really looking forward to some easy gain post-COVID, unfortunately, the landlords will be affected in this regard. And look, there is, again, even though we speak economic terms, we speak economic impact of it, there's some sociological impact or psychological impact, the well-being of employees, you know, how are employees coping on their individual spaces? Are your employees able to work in isolation? And if not, what can you do? What can you bring to make sure that your employees remain inspired and they are free of any psychological problems? And also, I think it really depends on the productivity that you as a company want to drive. But if you are becoming productive now during COVID-19, definitely you can be beyond you working from a closed space. So I think we would likely see a shrink in the office space revenue or in the rental revenue going forward, and that will be sustained for some time to come.
And changing gears now, have the B2B and B2C market seen an increase in business demand due to coronavirus? And how are they adapting to serve the public during this time?
Sure, and that's quite interesting, because it brings the two markets together, or the two commercial transactions together, B2B and B2C. And the demand between the two, when you look at the numbers, has been subdued. And you know, the demand from both business to business and both business to customers. And on a business to business, it depends again on the business that you are. But what we can see now with the COVID-19 pandemic or the lockdown restrictions, we've seen some kind of erosion of vertical and horizontal value chain integrations, both forward looking and backward looking. So the businesses are not able to get the inputs that they need for them to produce what they would ordinarily produce under normal circumstances. And the ones that are selling, they are not able to sell, because obviously of the lockdown regulations, especially at the borders, with the closure of the borders, businesses that depend on inputs from abroad, they've been severely affected by the lockdown regulations. And on the business to customer, there are quite a number of factors. And one, as I said, there has been a loss of income in many customers that cannot be downplayed. And whilst there's a loss of income, there is some, you know, fear of overspending at the moment, where you don't know how is your employment prospects looking like. Are you the one on the line to be laid off? You know, you become too conservative in the way you spend your money into businesses. Also, safety concerns. If before we were able to, you know, simply decide to lodge out or lunch out, now we become too sensitive because of health and safety reasons. Decide to rather do everything indoors and within our homes comfortably. Going forward, it will be interesting to see how it will bounce back. But probably most likely the business to business will come back with the open of the borders, as we have the vertical and the horizontal value chain integrations been slowly winding up.
Now, Vusi, how has the lockdown highlighted the importance of digitizing high-quality business support for all stages? And do you think that this is something South Africa needs to invest more in?
Sure. Look, full digitization requires much, much more than just, making sure that you scale up and, going with the flow of how things are happening currently. It's not an operation you can undertake abruptly as a business. It has to be informed, as I said before, by your short to long-term strategic view of the businesses and the resources you have at your disposal, as well as the skill set that you are able to have. We've been in a number of companies been in the digitalized space for some time, but the full skill digitization, it's quite a very, very thorny and requires much thought as a business on how you approach it. And that will require, it may, come into your capital space as well, meaning more investment. And that also it's quite a challenging one. But I think in the future, what we've learned from this episode of COVID-19 is that we can do without manual tasks, and we really need to move to digitization. That being said, what we really need to acknowledge is that South Africa is quite a unique case. As I said, we have these high unemployment numbers and highly unskilled numbers. And once we start digitizing, the unemployment will skyrocket quite rapidly, because a lot of manual work that we've done by labor will be replaced by some digital way of doing things. So it's really interesting thing to look forward to.
Could the introduction of accelerated automation remove insufficiencies? And what benefit could this provide beyond the lockdown and ensure the business is the best possible position for the future? And how can social distancing boost online retail?
Thank you for the question. Look, as I spoke about digitization, there is at least a thin line between digitization and automation. And automation would undoubtedly add more value in businesses. In fact, that is where the world is heading now. I spoke about Sainsbury's as we opened the talk earlier on. I spoke about the Tesco's of London, who have replaced their till points with no one, in fact. And we have now self-driving cars coming and making their way as well in the near future. And that's the way, unfortunately, things seems to be going. And South Africa, we have a quite stubborn labor market in a sense. Even when we tried with some of the special economic zones in the Nguchas in the Eastern Cape, some even shut down because of the high cost of labor, and when you try to put high-end technology, it becomes a bit of a crisis. So that's a beauty of the world, and that's where things are headed. And I think as businesses, we really need to think about how do we prepare ourselves for this, how do we automate, how do we go on e-commerce, and as we do that, we need to gain the public credibility because of the cyber crimes that are now becoming rampant. Once we gain that, it will also be much easier for us to buy, to get a buy-in of our customers. As social distancing has boosted, will definitely boost online retails during, I think your question was how can social distancing boost online retail, right? And I think it is because there's one thing, whether you go left or right and north or south, that customers are always pretty much looking for, and that is the convenience. If it's convenient for me to get what I need at the time that I need, sitting on my chair, I would rather do that than going and standing in a long queue somewhere in a mall, and only 3 hours later, or perhaps a couple of hours later, I'm able to lay my hand on the shelf.
So with social distancing, it creates a lot of backlog in the supermarkets, a lot of backlog in the retails, and people are now moving towards online buying, and that's where convenience is found. Also, as I alluded to earlier on, issues of safety. It's safe to buy from an X company that comes to my home, put the parcel on their boot, ensures me that they sanitized it, I pick it up, I put it in my house, I re-sanitize, and I open it, than going and touching a trolley that I'm not quite certain that it was sanitized. And so the social distancing will definitely boost online retails. And I think with the next numbers that we're going to see in the next quarter, we are inevitably in for a surge in the online retail stores. Those are the gross domestic numbers that will come in the around September.
Now, it can't be denied that the globe is in a global economic crisis. And as it continues, how will consumer behavior take a new turn? And how can this impact the overall seller-buyer conventional journey?
Yes, it's quite a turning point, right, for both businesses and customers. It's that sense of saying which businesses is stronger and which business can win. Look, depending again on the business that you are at, let's take for example, if you are in restaurant space, you sell food. You don't make as much profit as you would if you were doing in person. I mean, I just go online into your site, I see pictures, I click what I want, I buy, it gets delivered at home. But if I was working in your shop and with the aim of coming just to buy a drink and sit down whilst reading or maybe surfing through the net using your Wi-Fi, the smell or the sizzling that comes with the ambience of your restaurant may end up seeing me having a full course plate that is filled, that's something I was not intending to. So this relationship is quite important or significant for the line of business that one is at. And I think even some advertisement, they market themselves and they're starting to be quite creative and innovative in the way they do business. And that's really what we want, innovation and creativity. Also not forgetting customer value.
Now, speaking of customer value, how important is it to consider who your customers will be and how to promote your business and delivering of goods and services during the pandemic, considering people are still required to stay at home?
It's a difficult, I think, market research question, deciding on who your customer is. And we think at least that you can maintain the customers that you have. You don't necessarily need to lose them. You just have to show them a new way of doing things and, to make them understand the markets that you, perhaps the transactions that you're now going through. Because I think entering into new markets would be quite costly for businesses. And the KPI, as I said, the entire capital structure may have to be relooked. And also, the market that you're going at, how saturated it is. And I think the players that are in that market already are doing all by all means to protect the market share. So it's about looking at the market you have and how to retain them and optimize the value that they've been getting as your client before. Some things would be quite not familiar to them, but how do you show them as a business that these are what we need to go to? And again, supposedly this speaks to the strategic approach that the business needs to have, that we normally look at to how can companies relook at the strategy and how can they think around new way of doing things.
Now, how do businesses evaluate their financial state during and after the national lockdown? What should they be looking for and what are some key indicators?
Look, at the current moment, it's quite a risky environment for businesses. Some businesses, you know, are now starting to see that the net operating deficit moving from their surplus, and the finances are really not looking any good. So there's really little to look at. You know, the lenders now are calling in the debt, and things are changing quite rapidly. And I think for going forward, it's a matter of, as business, when you approach your finances, to look at the we spoke about the easy savings that we may have as a customer, saving on traveling, saving on some of the things that you would do manually. So those small savings would really go a long way. And the sad part is the easiest target to restructuring businesses finance, what we've seen, has been on the whether it's mild or mass retrenchments, saving the costs of doing business. That has been quite what companies are doing at, and pushing that kind of a cost to the unemployment fund to carry that. And it's quite a sensitive one at the current environment. And some businesses really and honestly do not have that choice to relook at their finances and on their financing structure. And there are, as I said, some things that you need to look at that you can survive without doing as a business. And if that does not impact your business negatively, then it's probably a good sign that you should reevaluate your finances and the broader financial structure of your business.
And lastly, Vusi, what type of responses do you anticipate from businesses in the various industry sectors post COVID-19? What are you expecting?
It's quite uncertain, as I said. It's too early to expect. But what we are seeing, what we perhaps likely to see, it's the lag effect of this pandemic. Already it has started to show in their balance sheets, and it will be much more clearer post COVID-19. And I think it's you'd have customers, employees that will inevitably lose their employment. That's an unfortunate fact. Yes, business will try to restructure. And on the positive, we are highly likely to see more innovative ways of doing business coming forth, including being online and competing with some of the solid or some of the online or tech companies that have been there. It will be a very bumpy road for businesses, but definitely the positives are there. And I think if considered quite well, they may well outweigh the negatives that we are highly likely to see. But talking about the negative, unfortunately, some businesses I don't think will have a strong balance sheet to withstand the COVID impact. Even I think the finance support provided by the small business development will not see to it that it saves some of the businesses. And that's a sad part, that we may likely see some businesses closing shop, but whilst we see some going big into the space. Specifically, we again, before perhaps people panic about what's setting apart, what's coming, what's not, we rather sit down and they relook at their strategic view and looking at how will the new way of doing things impact their businesses, and what can they protect, what needs to be protected, and what can they let go of, what it really doesn't add a significant value, as it were, in their businesses.
And that was Vusi Maupa, an analyst, sharing with us how businesses have been impacted by the pandemic. And the impact of COVID-19, so many people losing their jobs and many businesses being forced to shut down due to loss of revenue streams. But this isn't the case for many businesses that saw opportunity to maximize on sales and come up with new ways to win clients and sell their products even during these trying times. Now joining us on the COVID report is Tsulufelo Mniniko. She's the CEO of the House of Fabu, here to tell us what her success has been like during the COVID-19 pandemic. Thank you so much, Tsulufelo, for joining us here on the COVID report. And firstly, How long have you been running your business and what products do you sell?
Thank you very much for having me, Sipho. I've been running this business since last year, December. We actually launched on the 31st of December. We launched, I was just selling eyelashes only then. Then I'm now selling, it's eyelashes, it's hair care products, it's body care products, it's perfumes, I've aromatherapy oils. I also have lip glosses. So I'm trying to build a full house skincare brand.
The beauty industry was one of the industries that took the hardest knock when the lockdown was imposed. How did this impact your business financially? And how did you overcome and recover from the financial burden?
When lockdown level 3 was announced, so that is when we started selling again. That is when the business started being active again, because I think I operated from December till February. Then lockdown happened. Then afterwards, I had to wait. During the lockdown period, the first levels, level 5, level 4, I could not operate. But when level 3 started, I could operate. And that's when I started now growing the business from what it was to what I actually wanted it to be, right? During the first 2 months of lockdown, I started now strategizing about the other products I wanted to introduce post-lockdown.
So you used this time to rebuild and re-strategize. So what are your day-to-day operations like currently?
So our day-to-day operations are like this. So on a normal basis, we just I have an operations manager who assists me with everything that's going on. So we just sit down and strategize in terms of our marketing, how now we go about receiving and recording our orders, right? Our invoices. Because it's a new business, a lot of mistakes were done, right? So we were supposed to now sit down and look back at how to now rectify the mistakes. We are now dealing with rectifying mistakes that we've done in the past. Now, what are those mistakes, if you were here to ask me? So when we started the business, when you are eager to start a business, you're not like, each and every supplier that comes your way, you use that. Now, we were just correcting the mistakes of now, having to go back and look for alternative cheaper suppliers, so that our brands, our products can be accessible to the people we would like to have our brands. So what we do on a daily basis is we try by all means to see and structure how to now have this brand, grow this brand, so that everyone that would like to have an experience of our Febu products have that experience.
You speak of the last year and mistakes that were made. How did you establish your market and how did you ensure that you don't lose your customers, especially during this pandemic?
So I think being a beauty enthusiast is what helped me. Like I said, initially I started off by selling lashes. Now what I did during the lockdown, I went online and took up a course, a skincare and it was a skincare and makeup course online. I did that. So what I did, because now in our business, the way I run my business, I take orders using WhatsApp. Now what I did, I engaged my customers on WhatsApp. I used to, I still do, share skincare tips, makeup tips. So that gave me me and my customers a chance to engage with each other. So that is how now I started seeing that me keeping them closer to me will work in my favor when I introduce my hair care and skin care products.
What challenges do you come across in your daily operations and how do you overcome them? And please do share with us the mistakes that you mentioned that occurred in the first year.
Let me start by answering that question by just sharing with you guys the mistakes that I did in the first year, right? I knew that I wanted to be in the beauty industry. And I thought, okay, selling lashes would be a breakthrough for me and the business. But now, I didn't sit down and do proper research in terms of the suppliers, now who will be supplying me? Where do I get my packaging? You know, stuff like that. So now I just started and said, okay, fine, I'll be selling so and so. I'll be selling lashes. But now I didn't do proper research. Same thing applied with when I moved the market from not only selling lashes to selling body care and hair care products. What I did was I just picked the nearest supplier that was close by, used them as my supplier, I think for 2 months. But now when I employed my operations manager, we sat down and saw that when we're doing our costings, our suppliers were charging us more for the packaging, whereas our products were much less compared to our packaging. So now we had to sit and think and look for alternative suppliers for packaging and stickers, right? So the challenge that I come across is now courier services. A lot of customers do not appreciate or do not like buying online because of courier services. You know, inbound courier is $100. And there's Pexi, that's the one that I use for the business. But now sometimes because of load shedding, when I do go to PEP to go and try and send my customers their packages, I come across the same problem, like there's no network because there's load shedding. Now I have to go again tomorrow. I have to go back and explain to my customers that now I have a challenge. There's no network at PEP. So yeah, that is the challenge that I come across. I think courier services, it's the biggest challenge that I come across because they do not even want to an alternative. If I can say, no, let's use Postmate, they'll be like, no, Postmate is expensive.
Despite all of that, has the pandemic forced you to change anything about your business? And what has it changed?
I wouldn't say it forced me to change, but I could say it forced me to grow my business from one market to the other. It gave me a chance to sit down and think, where do I want to go from here, right? Because a lot of people think that the lash business is like overcrowded. So where do you go? Where do you move from step one? Where do you go? That's what that's an opportunity the pandemic gave me to use to process my thoughts. In terms of finances, the business is not doing extremely well, but it's doing well. It's appreciated. So because I'm still new in the business, I wouldn't say maybe if it wasn't for the pandemic and people losing their jobs, maybe I'd have a lot of customers. At the moment, I appreciate the sales that I make because to me, it's like at least I'm making something rather than those who have now lost their jobs. I'm still new in running a business, so I just appreciate everything that comes with it, challenges included.
And running a business during the lockdown must be difficult. How do you instill the lockdown regulations in your dealings with clients and your staff?
So with my assistant, my operations manager, we work vitally. With clients, we take orders vitally as well. So everything that we do online. It's only when I go and courier products. But when I go do courier products, there's lockdown regulations and social distancing measures that are observed at PepStop. So I think we are practicing all the lockdown regulations that have been presented to us.
And lastly, Tulufelo, a lot of businesses had to shut down because they struggled to keep afloat. What did you do right? And what advice would you give someone who's experiencing challenges, especially because you are still new but managed to survive?
I think I got lucky, right? I think I got lucky because I picked when level three was introduced, and the things that I'm selling, I think my products, hair care, skin care, they are sort of like a necessity. I think I got lucky, and the product that I'm selling, they're sort of like a necessity. That's why the business is doing well. And as for advice, I'm still learning, and I think business requires one to be patient, constantly go back to the drawing board, and look for new opportunities within the firm that you are in. Just look for new opportunities and go back to your drawing board and check what can you fix, because all of us do make mistakes. I have my own fair share of mistakes that I made in the past. I'm rectifying that. So I think if we all just try and sit, exercise patience and correct our mistakes, somewhere, somehow, we are bound to pick up and do well, because ultimately the pie is big enough for all of us to share, which means we all have a better chance to, you know, make our businesses successful.
And that was Tsholofelo Munyiko, the CEO of the House of Fabu, sharing with us how she has succeeded during the pandemic. Before that, we were joined by business analyst Vusi Maupa to share with us some trends that have come out of the business world during this pandemic.
This podcast was brought to you by Voice of Vids. By Voice of Vids. To hear more of our shows, tune in to 88.1 or stream by www.vofm.co.za.